to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, we've been going through a series titled All In. And we are, everybody that's come has gotten a poker chip. So if you would like one, and you maybe this is your first time, or if you've been coming and you missed one of the weeks where we gave them out, raise your hand and one of our ushers will get you one if you would like one. But we've been giving these out, and the idea is... It's a thing to help us remember, am I all in for God? Or am I sort of going halfway? Am I checking? Folding? What am I doing? This morning, as you guys came in, I know some of you were stubborn. You didn't want to grab a bag of candy, even though it was for my illustration. you didn't have to eat it. I just wanted it in your hand, but it's okay being stubborn for you. I gave each, hopefully, you had the option to have some kind of candy, and I grabbed my favorite, caramel M&Ms. If you have not experienced these yet, there's just something special about these. You put those in the fridge, and it's glorious. But what's crazy is my kids love candy. They love popcorn. They love snacks. For some of my kids, I think they would live on snacks over regular food. It's amazing. You could feed them a full meal within 2 minutes. Now I have boys. I don't know if it's just a boy thing or not, but within minutes they will ask, "Can I have a snack?" And I'm like, "Eat more food. Just eat food." And so we will give them snacks, and sometimes we'll buy them candy. And I'll say, "Can I have one?" And they say no. But who gave it to them? Me. It was my money. It was what I worked hard for. It was what I did. And they will keep it for themselves. We can sometimes be like our kids. And maybe it's not in sharing all things. Maybe, you know, we'd be okay with somebody says, "Hey, can I have something?" Like, sure, but aren't there some things that we hold so tightly onto? When it comes to my kids, many of the things they hold tightly onto. In our life as people, we can easily share some things that are easy to share and hold tightly onto others. If we really look at our life, I ask, are you all in every area of your life? With every area. If we really want to be all in with our life, we need to be willing to let God have every area of our heart. Because there are times when we can be all in most, but not all in every. And when it comes to all in, it means even uncomfortable areas of even our finances being all in with God. Trusting him with the money and what he has given us. It's easy for our hearts and our money to get tangled together. It's so easy. You see, in the game of poker, there actually is a buy-in. You have to come to the table with money. There's a buy-in. Now, God isn't requiring a buy-in. But if we really want to be all in for Jesus, then we've got to make that decision to be all in all things. You see, you can give, we can give to things and not be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not give. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it's part of what God has called us to do with our life. What is in your hand that God is saying, are you willing to let go and watch me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are a great God, a giver of many things, Lord, and you love us so much. And God, I ask that you'd speak to us today. And God, I ask that you'd speak to those that are at churches all over the valley. Lord, I thank you that we live in a valley, Lord, that has churches that are preaching your word each and every Sunday. And Lord, so I lift up those churches, Lord, I lift up Calvary North Phoenix, and Lord, I lift up CCV, and I lift up Valley Life, and Cross Church and Desert Breeze and Calvary Community. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd speak through the pastors that you have speaking today, God, that your word would go forth with power and that each person sitting and hearing would not sit and leave and not do, but may we sit and receive and live the life that you've called us to live. Lord, I pray that we would be all in with the life that we have, that we would hold nothing back. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday on the football field, we told the kids, and as you know, we coach, and I coach, and I talk about that quite a bit. But we told the kids, hey, at the end of the game, you don't want to look back saying, I could have given more. I could have done more today. I could have tried harder. I could have ran one more route harder. I could have done more. At the end of our life, you don't want to say, I could have done more. I could have done more with my life. I could have been more all in. But many times we hold back because we think we're saving for something else. But we want to spend it all in this life. This life is so short. There's not much time. For some, it's shorter than others. How we view life is key. I understand that there are some of us in this room that maybe view life a little different. Here's what I'm meaning. Some of us, we view life and we view it as a gift from God, that God has given us this life that we are living. Others of us, we view life as just an existence. Last night, my wife and I with my in-laws, we went on a Dolly Steamboat River cruise or dinner cruise, whatever. It's on a lake that's like a whole far away, but it was really cool. But this guy named Dr. Sky, I don't know what his real name is, but that's his name. And he tells you all about the stars. But what's so sad, what broke my heart, is he doesn't know who made those stars. They did not happen by chance. And when you look, if you've never done it, I encourage you to do it. The best months, I'm not getting anything for this advertisement here, but the best, I asked him, I go, Dr. Sky, when's the best time? And he said, September, October, or March. And when you look up at those stars, it's amazing. And Laramie said today, she goes, honey, when David writes about those stars in Psalm, he saw it like we did. It's amazing. And so I view life as a gift from God. I don't view life that it's by chance. I don't view life that it's coincidence. I don't view life that it was some puddle of goo or like the guy said, everything exploded. I view life that everything was created for a purpose by somebody who has a purpose for each and every one of us in here. That's how I view life. And if we view life that way, if we view life that God has a purpose, then here's some things that we believe. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8. If you're joining us online, I'd like to say welcome. And for those of you in here, if you do not have Bibles, we're going to have it up here. You can follow along on YouVersion Bible app. All the verses are going to be right there. If you go to the three little lines on the far side, there's three dots. Click on that. It says more. And then you click on events. And then click on city view. If your location isn't turned on because you think people are tracking you, don't worry. They already are, so it's really not a big deal. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Psalm 50:10 says this, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours. The earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it. Psalm 95:5 says this. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Haggai, I'm skipping a verse. I don't know. So Haggai 2:8 says this. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You see, when we choose to be all in for God, we are saying, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe what belongs to you is what you say belongs to you. We believe that he is who he says he is. But many times we cheat God by giving him either nothing or the bare minimum. We do that. And I'm not just talking about finances, but that is a big thing because, you see, as I said earlier today, you can give without being a follower of God, but you cannot be a follower of God without giving. And as I also said, our hearts and our money get so tied together. More marriages get ruined because of finances than almost anything else. Because we get so stressed. Oh, but right now, if we were to have a raise of hands on how many of us are stressed about finances right now, a majority of us would raise our hands. Because money stresses us out. But you see, when we go all in, going all in is risky. Going all in is a jump of faith. Going all in means all of you being in every area. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 12, this is going to be our main passage this morning. We're going to be looking at a woman who is all in. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds and dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything. She went all in. She gave all she had to live on. So here's what's going on. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was having some debates with different groups of people, talking about who he is and why he came. And he's in the outer court areas of the temple. And the temple had multiple levels of getting into, depending on who you were and whether or not you were a Gentile, meaning you weren't a Jew. And then if you were a Jew and you're a woman who's a Jew, then you could go only so far in. So if you can picture, there's these different areas. So you have the courtyard, but we have our courtyard out here. So anybody can come in the courtyard. But then in the Jewish times, if you were not a Jew, that's as close as you get into like the temple area. And then if you are a Jewish woman, you could come in a little closer. So you could come into like the entryway. And this is the part. This is where Jesus is sitting right now. He's sitting on some benches that would outline this area. And inside the temple, there are 13 trumpets and shofars. And what people would do is they would put their money into the smaller part. And then the bottom part, the money would be collected, sort of like an offering box is the idea. And so there are 13 lined against the wall there. And these people were bringing in what is called their free will offering. It was very similar to what we give on our Sunday mornings. This offering saying, God, I give to you. I want to be a part of what you're doing at the church. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the valley through the church. And what you guys do each and every week as you give, it's not just giving to make a paycheck. It's giving to impact our city. It's giving to help moms or we've helped single moms when their rent is due. And they're like, I can't do it. And we say, but you know what? People give so that you can stay. We give so that we can help missionaries that are doing things in countries that maybe all of us are not called. Like my brother will never go to India. But he's like, I will help other people go. We help schools like the Love Our Schools Day. We will make sure that we do as much as we can for our school. We want to do whatever we can to reach our city for Jesus. As I've shared with you in the past, our goal as a church is that 50% of the offering that comes in would go to outreach. That's our goal someday. That's our big dream, big vision someday is that God would bless us to the point where we can just give and watch him continue to bless. And so these people were giving to this offering. And if you can imagine, there's these crowds of people and some dressed so fancy. People have wondered, how did Jesus know how much he gave? Well, it's believed that there would be a priest sort of standing at the entryway. And as people would be coming, giving their offerings, they would come and they would pronounce to the priest, I have $1,000 I am giving to the Lord today. And people would be like, wow, they're so spiritual. Look at how much money they're giving. And then this one widow comes and gives her two small coins. Can you imagine how she walked up that morning? With all she had. Two small coins. Those two small coins, it takes 10 of those coins to equal one penny. One penny. That's all she had. And so she would walk up to this priest and he would say, "What do you have for the Lord today?" And she would say, "I have two copper coins." Can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine if Sunday morning, as you guys, we were doing the offering, you know, after we do this, and then I have you come up to the front and I have you give it into a basket, and I'm like, "How much do you have for the Lord today?" "I don't have any." "They have none today for the Lord. Be blessed and go in peace, I hope." But can you imagine that? That would be crazy, right? I would be like, I'm never going to church again. Seriously, like, that would just be amazing. Can you imagine how she felt? She probably walked away thinking no one cared. Because the priest doesn't know that's all she had. The crowd didn't know that's all she had. Nobody except for Jesus knew that's all she had. She probably thought nobody would take notice of me. Nobody saw any significance of what I gave. How many of us have ever felt that way before? How significant am I, really? Is what I'm offering, whether it's an act of kindness or even financially, I don't make a lot. And I know there are some people who give, and I know one lady, I think it was last year, she gave and all she had was like $20. She said, "God, I don't have anything else." She gave $20. Right after she gave, God laid it on somebody else's heart and he handed her a $50 bill. That's how, I mean, I'm not going to say if you're going to do that this morning, that's going to happen. I mean, that'd be cool. I'm not going to promise that. But that happened. That's a real life story. But there are times where we come and we give our time, we give our heart, and we feel like, does anybody notice? And I know many of us, we can feel like that. We can feel like we've gone unnoticed to our boss. We can feel like we've gone unnoticed to our parents. We can feel like we've gone unnoticed to a coach. We can feel like we've gone unnoticed to our kids. Have you ever felt that, moms? Have you ever felt like that? Do my kids even care what I'm doing right now for them? We can feel we've gone unnoticed to our husbands. We can even feel sometimes that we've gone unnoticed to God. But who noticed her? Jesus. Who tells his 12 friends about her? Jesus. Who makes sure that anybody who reads this book we call the Bible, who made sure that everybody would know her story? Jesus. So who notices? Jesus. What was important to Jesus? It wasn't the amount. It was the heart. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 says this: "Don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." It would have been so easy for her to come up with so many excuses on why to keep it. Right? "I've got bills to pay, God. God, I really want to give to you, but I got bills. God, I really want to give, but I've got this at home. I've got this. I got to pay my truck payment. God, I've got this," and so many of us, we have overspent, and then who's the one that loses out? God is. But in reality, who's the one that's losing out? You are. because your heart and your money are so tied together that now you cannot have the joy of giving to the Lord. And let me tell you, there is so much joy in when you can freely give. There is so much joy in it. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. I know. I experience it every week. As I give that, as I give to the Lord, I experience that joy. It's not a burden. I don't look going, man, I could pay for a check payment with that amount. I was at this retreat this week, and this one couple, and they, I don't know how much money, they make way more money than I could ever dream or fathom. And the wife was talking about how they didn't know anything about giving. And their pastor, and this guy makes like over $1 billion a year. I mean, it's like my brain can't fathom like anywhere even close to that. A million. I can't. There's a lot of zeros. I can understand zero, but not the one in front of it. And so he was talking about how he never really gave. He goes, but here's something that I've learned. Poor people always talk about money because they never have it. Middle class people never talk about money because they're too embarrassed of it. He goes, wealthy people talk about money and how they're investing it. He goes, the circles I'm in, we talk about the money we're giving away. Not bragging. He goes, but it's so much fun to know what we're doing. And I'm like, I don't get that. He goes, and it wasn't until our pastor finally took time and shared with us the importance of giving. And his wife goes, every year he challenges us, not the pastor, but this guy's wife, the rich guy. He goes, every year he ups what we give. And every year I'm going, can we even do that? But let me tell you the joy they have. And you're like, well, that's easy for rich. But you don't understand. They once had nothing. They lost everything, and they shared their story. How they had lost everything. It was in those moments of loss, of how they lost everything, that God taught them how to give. And it was in their poverty that they learned to give. And then God blessed. You see, this woman had nothing. We can come with so many excuses, but the question is, where's your heart, and are you trusting in God? God noticed her. He notices her, and he notices us. Remember what I said earlier. You can give and not be a follower of Jesus, but you cannot be a follower of Jesus and not give. So I ask you, are you all in? Was it the amount that Jesus noticed? No. I read in a commentary by a guy named J.R. Edwards. He says this, for Jesus, the value of a gift is not the amount given, but the cost to the giver. Now, I could open to you. And I could give you a handful of M&Ms out of this bag. And that would be pretty generous if I gave you half of this bag, right? And there's, I don't know, 10 in here. But what if I gave you 10 out of this bag? Is it the same generosity? No. You see, Jesus washed all these rich people, and they had a bag this big, but they gave this much. The woman had a bag even smaller than this, and she gave everything. Everything. You see, in the temple, others gave what they could share, but the poor woman shared nothing. She shared everything she had. Others gave their surplus, but she gave from her need. All that she had to live on. God has entrusted us with so much. And it's easy to give our time. We can say, you know what, God, I'll serve you. Here's my time. God's like, that's not all in for me. I'll serve you, God, out of my brokenness. God's like, yes, but that's not all in for me. God, I'll serve you with my gifts and talents. Oh, yeah, thank you. But I want all of you, because with all of you, God can do so much more. He wants our hearts. He wants every bit of our hearts. God says this, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. He says, test me in this. Many of us, we will never know because we can't trust him enough. I challenge you, test God. Trust him. Don't miss out on living an all-in life. Don't miss out on jipping God. You know, and the only reason God can ask is because God went all in for us. He held nothing back. It says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, as the same idea, he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I've shared with you, our mission, the mission of City View, is that you would belong, that you'd belong in community, that you would believe in Jesus. But the biggest part is that you would become who God has called you to be. And one of the parts is becoming, is trusting God with what we have. God says, I have given you everything. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending, by giving his one and only son. Romans 5, 8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending, by giving Christ to die for us. Romans 8, 32 and 33 says, or 32 says this, since he did not keep back. But he gave up for us all. God went all in for you. Are you willing to go all in for him? With your time, with your gifts, with your brokenness. The places that we try so hard to hold back, and God says, can I have that? Can I have that so I can fix that? Go all in together by being part of the community and all in with our finances. Jesus went all in with his life. Are we ready to go all in for him? As I've said, we can give and not be a follower of Jesus. But we cannot be a follower of Jesus and not give. It's part of following him. It's part of trusting him. Some of us, we've been wondering, why am I so plateaued? It might be because we're either tipping God. Hey, God, you did a good job. Like I tipped Starbucks today. Am I tipping him? Saying, God, you did a pretty good job today. Or am I like this woman? Where, God, I don't know how you're going to provide. And I'm not saying, right, I'm not saying everybody get your checkbook out and write your whole salary for the year. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I'm asking, do we trust him? Are we willing to go all in for the Lord for the rest of our lives? Because that's the idea of this series. Are we ready to go all in? Are we ready to share that with our friends, our family, our neighbors? Are we ready to live a life that says, I'm all in for God in every area? And it takes steps of faith. It's not going to happen in a moment. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a learning process. It's going to be getting around people that are going to help us learn how to do that. When we have like financial peace, it's going to be joining that going, how can I? I'm in so much debt. We have classes that help us learn how to get out of debt. I don't know how to be all in. I feel so alone. We have city groups to help to not feel all alone. We want to help people belong in community. We want to help people believe in Jesus. Did you know, since we started City View 3 years ago, over 60 people have been baptized. 60. That's a lot of believing in Jesus. And we want to help people become who God has called them to be. That's our heart. That's what we so want to see. And we know that when we go all in, you know what's going to happen to our city? It will change. Our neighborhoods will change. Our communities will change. Our city will change. Our state will change. Our country will change. When we make a decision to go, you know what, I'm all in. Imagine if this room right here, right now, if we decided we're going to go all in. There's 100 and, I don't know, probably close to 200 people in here right now. Imagine if a room this side said, you know what, I'm going all in with everything. Imagine the impact 200 people have. Because each one of you have probably 10 close friends. So if you start reaching out to your 10 close friends, what happens to them? All of a sudden, your life, your experiences, your joy, your all in impacts those around you. So now the 200 in here, 200 times 10, that's 2,000, right? I'm not a math whiz, and it's Sunday morning. 2,000. Can you fathom that? Imagine if we just focused on one. One friend. Right now, I have one. There's one friend that I'm focusing on this year. I have people praying for he and his wife that he would accept the Lord and that God would change their life. And every time I see them, I talk to them. One friend. Imagine if we just focused on one each year. And then all of a sudden, another one. And if we live, if we start now, and I don't know, let's say average age in here is 20. 30, let's just say 30. And we live for another 50 years, live to be 80. And you focus on one friend, each of you, so your husband and wife, so you each have two, for the next 50 years. That's 50 lives. But you see, you don't just affect the one life. If they have kids, how many more lives are you going to affect? You know what happens when that happens? Revival. You know what happens when revival happens? It doesn't stop in one city. It spreads to a country, and then it gets contagious around the world, and that's what we want to see Jesus do. When a believer goes all in for Jesus, hell cannot stop it, because Jesus says, the gates of hell will not stop what I'm about to do. You guys, I fully that God wants to do something in and through you. If you're willing to say, God, I trust you. I'm going to go all in. Lord, here we are. I know some of us are at maybe the beginning of this whole journey of life, and we're realizing you were the creator and things didn't happen by chance. And that's others of us, we've been walking this walk of Christianity for a long time, but we've been lazy and slacking, and we realize today we need to get off our butts and share your love for the world. And then there's all of us in between. So Lord, wherever we're at, help us to be all in. Help us realize we do it not because we have to, but because we want to, because you did so much for us. In Jesus' name I pray. And all that people say.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.